Boys and girls, we're going to need your help this morning doing quite a lot of things, okay? And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to learn a memory verse throughout today, okay? I wonder if we can go to the PowerPoint, Phil. This is what we're going to learn today, okay? And the idea is that every time there's a new line, there's a new action, okay? So I'm going to show you what the actions are. All right, grown-ups, here's the deal. You don't have to do the actions, but you do have to learn the memory verse, okay? So if the actions help you, grand. If they don't, that's fine, okay? God was not counting people's sins, okay? Hands, adults, hands up who still counts with their hands, with your fingers. Come on, be honest. Be honest, yeah, thank you. Thank you for being honest, okay? Counts, okay, you do this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, that's the action for this line, okay? All right? Okay, so it's God was not counting people's sins, okay? Not counting people's sins, that's our action for that line. Against them, now then. I'm not going to talk about you, as boys and girls, or your parents or your grandparents. I'm going to talk about me as a boy and when I got told off by my parents, okay? Mum, not always Dad, because he was a bit softer. Mum would normally do something like this, okay? Does that look familiar? Okay? And you're not allowed to smile either when you do that action, okay? Against them. Okay, you've done wrong, okay, that's what parents said, okay. So it's God was not counting people's sins against them, okay. But in Christ, and this is the action for Christ, because when he died on the cross for us, outstretched arms, but Christ, now, this is harder for me because I'm not anywhere near anybody, okay? But if you're beside somebody, you can maybe, for the next one, in Christ, he was reconciling, okay? So reconciling means making friends again. That's what it means, making friends again. If you're beside somebody and they're happy with this, okay? You can give them a hug or you can put their arm around you, okay? Like that, okay? There's some brothers and sisters looking at each other thinking, don't you dare touch me, okay? Okay? If the person beside you doesn't want to be touched, just do this, okay? All right, hug yourself. Okay, that's what I'll be doing, okay? Okay, so that was record. He was making us friends again. And the Bible tells us that's what God does for him. He makes us his friends. He's reconciling us, okay? God was not counting our sins against us, but in Christ, go on, hug it out, go on, was reconciling, here we go, you ready? The next two ones are dead easy. The world to himself. Okay? We're going to try it one more time, and then we'll pick it up as the service goes along. Here it goes. Are you ready? God was not counting people's sins against them, but in Christ was reconciling the world to himself. I think I heard about six of you speak there, okay? As well as the accents you're supposed to speak, okay? We'll pick that up later on. Where's my gadget? Excuse me. Okay, now then. So I'm going to need some help, boys and girls, this morning, looking at... I'm going to tell you the story of three men, okay? In the story, there's more than just three men, okay? So this guy on the side, he's got lots of friends with him, okay? His name's Paul. And when he, as this story starts, he's got lots of friends with him. And the guy on the other side, well, he's called Philemon, okay? That's a funny name, isn't it? Philemon, all right? Is that how you pronounce it in England? No objections, okay? In Northern Ireland, we pronounce names funnily. Is that how you pronounce it? Philemon? Are you happy with that? Okay. Well, Philemon had a few people with him as well, okay? But we're just going to talk about these three people. I'm going to tell you something about each of them. So I'm going to need a Paul, Oh, sorry, the guy in the middle, I should have told you, his name is, even stranger than Philemon, his name is Onesimus. Okay? Onesimus makes a mess. Okay? Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon. Who wants to come and be Paul for me? Joel, I think your hand was up first, mate. Come on, sit. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Paul, okay? Come on, sit down in the blue chair. There's stuff behind this table that's going to tell everybody and you about Paul, okay? Can anybody read the numbers? 1, 2, 3, 4. Anybody reading numbers? I need someone who can read number one to come behind this table and find the thing that number one is stuck to. Joseph, come. We're going to find out about these three characters. Okay, you ready? Can you find number one? Right, got him. Good man, thank you. Good lad, thank you. You can take a seat now, thank you very much. One of the most important things about Paul that you need to know is that he heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay? Boys and girls, grown-ups too, the good news of Jesus Christ is amazing. Some people think the good news of Jesus Christ goes like this. Everybody goes to heaven, and if you're good, well-behaved, you can be extra sure of it. That's not the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ is Jesus came into the world to save people like me, like Joel, like Paul, like Philemon, like Onesimus, like any of you who do not deserve anything from God apart from punishment. And Jesus takes our punishment and gives us life. Life with him, life with his Father, life with him and his Father forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and you get the point? Ever. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, Paul heard that one day. He was a nasty piece of work. Okay? When his name... Paul, not Joel, okay? Paul was a nasty piece of work. His name was Saul, and Jesus met him, spoke to him, changed him. And he received the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing you need to know about Paul. Can anybody read the number two? If you read the number two, come on, Reuben. You're behind the table. Find out what number two is for me, okay? Can you see number two? Oh, brilliant. Thank you. You can take a seat now. Thank you for your help. Paul, as this story starts, you're an old man. Okay? This might help as well, because when you get old, you necessarily need glasses. Can you stand up and pretend to be old for me? Look at that. Oh, yeah. Very good. You'll make a very good old man one day, okay? Have a sit. Rest your poor, weary legs, old man. And Paul, as this story... I need my glasses back. I don't get an old man there. Paul, when this story starts, he's an old man. Okay, he's not young. Okay, he's old. And almost everybody he meets with, all his friends, are younger than him. Okay, so he's an older man. Who can read the number three? Anybody want to help? Come on then, Matthew. I saw your hand up. I'll call you later, Daniel, okay? Come on, Matthew. There's a number three behind this table here, please. Okay? So he's heard the good news of Jesus Christ. He's an old man. That's it. Good man. Thank you. You can take a seat now. Thank you for your help. Any but hands up who's played Monopoly? Hands up who hates the game? Hands up whose families have been devastated by arguments over Monopoly? Sunday afternoons in our house were a terrible experience because of this game. In this game, around the board, there's one particular square and it says, go to jail, okay? Now, when you got lots of money and you want to buy lots of properties and play the game well, you say, oh, I don't want to go to jail. But sometimes when you're skint, you think, actually, jail's the safest place to be, isn't it? Does that happen? Well, Paul, the old man... I just put that there, is okay? Good man, well done. Paul is in jail. He's been sent to jail. He doesn't deserve to be there. He's only there because he's telling other people about Jesus. But he's in jail. But a bit like Monopoly, it's actually not a bad thing. Because the prison guards hear from him about Jesus. And his friends who can come into the prison can stay with him if they want and look after him and talk to him and share with him. So it's not as bad as it might sound. And so quite often in the letters, he writes to his friends and says, don't worry about me. It's working out for good. I'm in prison, but I'm all right. Okay, it's working out for good. So that's about Paul. You're doing really, you don't have to hold it up again. You just relax, okay? Good man. Are you okay staying there for a bit? Good lad. I'm glad you answered yes. Okay? So that's Paul. The next man we want to talk about is Philemon. Who wants to come and be Philemon? Okay? Come on then, Joe. Okay? Who wants to read, or who wants to find a number one for me? Daniel, up you come. Behind this table here, there's a number one. Okay? If you were here last night, Daniel scored the highest marks in the bowling game. Didn't you, Daniel? And you actually beat me as well, didn't you? Yeah. Can I just take that off? Thank you very much. Good lads. Well done. Okay, just hold that up for you. Now, that looks familiar, doesn't it? Because he's heard the good news. Philemon has heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And actually, Philemon, you've heard the good news of Jesus Christ from Paul. Somewhere, we're not too sure where, you two met. And he told you about Jesus. And just like he did, he believed in Jesus, so did you. So you're a follower of Jesus, okay? That's one of the things you need to know about Philemon, okay? Who wants to come and find a number two for me behind? Come on. Yeah, come. That's what, well, you'll be number three. Caleb, up you come, son. Sunshine, up you come, Myth. Come. Sorry, pointing isn't particularly helpful. I'm looking for a number three. Okay. Oh, no, actually, no, I'm looking for a number two. Number two. Can we find a number two here? Good man. I'll just take it out of the way. Thank you. Look at that. Good lad. You're not holding that. No, you don't need to hold that. I'll put that out of the way, okay? Now then, why have I got that? He's not going camping. I'll just put it behind, okay? He's not going camping. In the story, Philemon, you have a house. And in that house, Christians meet, okay? So it's like a smaller version of this building here, okay? Now, one of the reasons why they meet in your house is number three. You can find number three behind there for me, okay? You see it? Yeah. Good lad. Thank you. You can go and take a seat now. Thank you very much. Number three. Now then, can you have a look inside that envelope and tell me what's in it? Or pull it out. Pull them out. He just said, yeah, I'm rich. Okay, we've got all the pink notes from Monopoly, okay? 500 notes each, okay? And the reason why you've got a house is because we think your house is big, because we think that you are very, very rich, okay? And one of the things that rich people had in those days were slaves, okay? The slaves would help them look after the house. Maybe if they had a farm, help them look after the farm and do all sorts of things for you. So Philemon, you are a follower of Jesus. You've got a big house. You've got lots of money, okay? But there's something else about Philemon that we need to know. Who wants to come and find a number four for me behind this table? Come on. Yeah, come. We're looking for a number four. It's the last one there, all right? Thank you, Daniel. Good lad. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, your face is doing what this page says. Just hold that up for me. One day, Philemon wakes up and he's lost something. It's not his slippers, not his dressing gown, not a school bag, not his sports shorts. He's lost a slave and he doesn't know where the slave's gone. That's it. That's what you need to know about Philemon. He's a follower of Jesus, he's got a big house, he's got lots of money, but he's lost a slave. Now then, who wants to be Onesimus? Onesimus. Let me just see. Are there any girls in this congregation? Daniel, up you come. Reuben, I'll call for you later, okay? Up you come. If you come, okay? So you're Onesimus, Okay. Reuben, do you want to come and find number one for me? Now, what are you expecting? The first one that we told about Paul was he heard Jesus. The first thing we heard about Philemon. Okay. Can I grab them both? Thank you. There's your shoes. Do you want to sit down, Philemon, or Onesimus? The first thing you need to know about Onesimus is, just to assure you, that they're not my running shoes, okay? They're somebody else's. All right? Mine would be stinking. There's a reason why he can't find his slave. He can't find his slave because you've run away. Okay? He's your slave. Now listen, we're playing here, okay? All right, this does not carry on after the service, okay? In fact, actually, you need to listen to the rest of the service if you... Okay, all right. So he's your slave, but he's not a runner. He's run away. Can I let you into a secret? I ran away from home once. I was 5 years old, fifth birthday. I tucked my birthday cards underneath my chubby little arms. And I walked all the way to the end of the back garden. That's as far as I got when I ran away from home. And my mum and my granny sat in the kitchen and just laughed. But you, Onesimus, you really did run. Who wants to find a number two for me behind? Come on then, Sam. There's a number two behind that table, okay? Good man. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I've got here a map, okay? It's actually a map of the Gower in Wales. That doesn't matter. I've got this because, actually, my guess is, Onesimus, can you just hold that for me a wee second? When you did a runner, when you ran away from Philemon's house as his slave, you ran a long, long, long way away. And probably you would have had to think to yourself, hi, where am I going to go? Let me just show you on this map. Now, the sort of the grey bit is the sea. Daniel, just hold it, sunshine, okay? You don't need to open it, okay? Good lad, thank you very much. Good lad. The grey bit is the sea and the white bit is the land, okay? The story happens in Colossae. That's the name of the place. That's where you live. That's where your house is, okay? Now, if Onesimus was to run all the way to Ephesus, that doesn't look far on the map, does it? It's about 100 miles, that gap, okay? But he doesn't run to Ephesus. He runs to Rome, okay? If you go by road, it's about... You okay, Daniel? It's about 2,800 kilometres if you go by road, okay? But probably he would have got the boats, okay? But when I say he ran away, do you get it? He really ran away. It wasn't just down to the end of the street or the back garden or the next city. He went for it in a big way. So one of the reasons why you've got 3 question marks is you have no idea where he's gone. You've no idea how he is. You know, no idea if he's coming back. And probably, Onesimus, do you want to know something? Daniel, do you want to know something? Probably, as you ran away, you stole probably money from Philemon. I know. Should you? No, he stole it. He's already taken it, and he's run away with it. You're going to give him money for stealing? He's run away with it, and probably took some food as well. Now then, Onesimus, can I help you? Let me just tuck that there for you, okay? All right, we can still see it, and you don't need to worry about it, okay? Now then, we've got got something numbered 3 behind Onesimus. Who wants to come and get number 3? Has anybody not been up yet? Daniel, come on. Good lad, thank you. Number 3, please. Thank you. Onesimus, what does that say? School report. Who's ever hidden a school report from their parents? Hands up. Thank you for being honest, okay? Put your hands down quickly before your parents see, okay? School reports. Onesimus. Now then, you weren't at school, you were a slave, okay? But I wonder what he would have thought of you before you ran away. Do you want to know? What does that say? Useless. Useless. Now, hopefully teachers are more kind today, okay? But this is not a school report. This is what everybody thought of you. You were useless as a slave. If ever you were given a job, you wouldn't finish it well. And people thought, you know what, we'd be better off without him. Maybe that's why he ran away. Okay? Can you hold useless? Now then, two other things. You're a real explorer, aren't you? There you go. It just says useless. That's all it is, okay? All right. Two other things behind this table. Who wants to come and help me find... Come on, Zach. So we've got Paul, Philemon, and useless Onesimus. Number four is when he gets to Rome in the end. What's that? A first aid kit. Have you ever needed a first aid kit before, Daniel? Yeah. Once or twice. Once or twice a day. A first aid kit. Oh, I need some help. Maybe you rush in from the garden. Mum, I've cut my knee. Mum, I've bumped my head. Does that happen? Yeah. All right, okay. I need some help. Well, when you get to Rome, Onesimus, you need help. Because the money you've stolen from him probably has run out. And the food you've stolen from him has probably run out as well. But do you know what I think has happened? I think when you were in his house, you heard him talk about him. Paul. And when you get to Rome, you hear that Paul's in Rome. And the story is that you go to Paul for help. Okay? There's one other thing behind this table. Who wants to come and get it? Come on in, Caleb. Good lad. There's just one more behind Daniel's table. Okay? Thank you. You can take a seat now. I'll tell you what we'll do. Put your shoes down. Put the help down. Put the useless down. That's it. Just leave them there. Look at that. When he's with Paul, guess what Paul tells him? Paul tells him about the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know what happens? Onesimus does what Paul did and does what Philemon did. He believes in the good news of Jesus Christ. What does that say, Daniel? Jesus. Okay. When you're here in Rome, in prison, you go and visit Paul in prison. He tells you about Jesus, and you believe, and you're changed, just like Paul was, just like Philemon was. You're now different because you trusted in the good news of Jesus. Now, guys, you've been very good. Thank you. Just leave all the stuff down. We'll leave those till the end. You can go and have a sit down, okay? Come, yep. It's great to be full of beans, isn't it, right? So that's the story of the three men. What happens next is that Paul realizes Onesimus can't stay here with me, looking after me. He's got to go back. So three men, very different stories, but all of them have met Jesus by hearing the good news of Jesus. Remember this one? Okay. This is a summary of the good news. God doesn't count our sins against us, but he makes us friends again. Are you ready? After two, you ready? God was... Hang on. Are you ready? After two. One, two. God was not counting people's sins against them, but in Christ was reconciling the world to himself. Okay? And that's the message that Paul heard, and he was reconciled to God. That Philemon heard, he was reconciled to God. And Onesimus heard, and he was reconciled to God as well. Okay? Now then, I'm going to talk to you about Philemon. Because Paul, because he couldn't go and visit people, he's in prison, he writes letters. And he wrote a letter to Philemon. Okay? Now then, I'm going to give you a multiple choice question. That means I ask you a question and there's different answers that you can give and you're going to vote. You can actually see some of the answers before I give them to you. Okay? Joseph, Philemon was a master whose slave had run away. Okay? And what normally happens when a slave comes back having run away, that's what we want to think about. Okay? What could Philemon do as the master of a runaway slave come back? Okay, I'm going to give you all the options and you're going to vote just by raising your hands. Okay, option number one, can he punish them? Can Philemon punish Onesimus? Someone could be whipped or put in prison. That's one option. Okay, or a master could kill a runaway slave that comes back for disobeying them. That's option number two. Philemon could, if he wanted, sell Onesimus to other masters just to get rid of the useless servant that he was. That was an option. Or was it? Or could he take them back and keep a runaway slave as a slave? Okay? So that's your four options. You've got to vote for one of them. Okay? I'm going to run through. As you go through the first one, just put your hands up. Second one, put your hand up. Third one. Hands up who thinks that a master of a runaway slave who came back could punish them and have them whipped or put into prison. Pop your hand up if you think that's the case, okay? Okay, brilliant, thank you. Pop your hands down. There's a few. That doesn't really cut. I know it's a hands up. When I say hands up, I mean, you know. Okay. Who thinks they could kill them? Option number two. There's a few more hands up. Thank you very much. Hands down. Who thinks that the master could sell them onto other slaves, onto other masters? Anybody think they could do that? Okay, I think there's two, three hands on that. What about number four? Could he take him back and keep him as a slave? Do you think that's an option? Thank you, hands down. Actually, what he could do, he could do any of those. A runaway slave could be killed by the master. A runaway slave could be put in prison or whipped. A runaway slave could be sold to somebody else, or they could be kept. Okay? And Paul writes to Philemon knowing that that's possible. And this is what he says. Philemon, I keep hearing of your faith in Jesus and your love for all of God's people. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. Okay? So Paul knows Philemon. And he knows him to be a kind, loving man who's done good to lots and lots and lots of people who follow Jesus. And then he says this, take Onesimus back. He's no longer a slave. He's more than a slave. He's your brother. Okay? And this is how he finishes. If you consider me your partner, if Paul said, if I'm your friend and we work together for the good news of Jesus Christ being shared, if we're partners like that, we'll welcome Onesimus as if you had welcomed me. I imagine if Paul ever got to Philemon's house, he would have got a massive hug, lots of food, a comfy bed, and lots of chat. And Paul said to Philemon, treat Onesimus like that as well. Don't put him in prison. Don't whip him. Don't sell him. Don't kill him. Don't just treat him as a slave. Treat him as a brother. And that's because God has been kind to Paul. God has been kind to Philemon. God has been kind to Onesimus. Ziamara, I'm going to give you this £500. Okay? It's not because you're sitting very well, okay? You are. It's not because you're clever. You are. I've just given it to you because I want to. Okay? Karen, can I give you that £500? Okay? It's not because you were expert gargler last night. Okay? But you were. I'm giving that to you simply because, well, I just want to give it to you. Okay? Mary, can I give you that £500? Okay? I'm not giving that to you, Mary, because it's always lovely to see you. It is always lovely to see you. I'm giving that to you because, well, I want to. Okay? Sheila, can I give you that £500? I'm giving that to you because I want to. I'm giving that to you because I want to. Thank you. I'm giving that to you, Doreen, because I want to. Let me see. Charlie. Charlie was a legend last night. But it's not because you've got superb upper body strength. I'm just giving that to you because I want to. Rab, did you enjoy your puddings last night?
Yes.
Yes. Rab, I'm giving that to you not because you look smart every time I see you. You do look smart every time I see you, but I'm giving that just because I want to, okay? Now then, everybody with a £500 note, if they were wrong, they could say something like this. CMR could say, well, I was sitting very nicely. That's why Stuart gave me the £500. Karen could say, well, I gargled really well last night. That's why I was given £500. Mary could say, well, I'm always an encouragement to Stuart whenever I come to church. That's why he gave me £500. I could talk about all the things, but none of those are true. The people have £500 because I've decided to give it to them. And God decided to give to Paul and Philemon and Onesimus the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Not because they were good, not because he was rich and has a big house, not because he would change many people's lives, just because he wanted to. And that equalizing, that treating of everybody the same, all because of Jesus Christ, means that everybody should be treated the same in the family of God. And that's what Paul was saying to Philemon. Philemon, take this runaway, useless servant, take him back. Not just as a slave, but take him back as a brother. You see, he now belongs to Jesus, which means he now belongs to you too. Does that make sense? Onesimus, that's a funny name, isn't it? It means something. It means useful. That's what it means. How about that? How about having a name like Tiny and you're massive? How about having a name like Useful and you're absolutely useless? But after Onesimus, the useless, the mess maker, meets Jesus Christ, he becomes useful. In the letter that Paul writes to Philemon to say, take him back, Onesimus back, not as a slave but as a brother, he says he has become useful. Useful to me, because he's a great help to Paul in prison. And he'll become useful to you as well as a brother. Do you see the difference that Jesus can make? Someone who thinks he has to run away to solve the problem, Jesus sends back to fix the problem. Do you know what? The story of Philemon running away but being sent back reminds me of another story in the Bible. Does it remind you of a story in the Bible? Someone who runs away and has to come back. The prodigal son. There's one dad and two sons. I'm going to tell you the story of the first son, okay? He's a little bit like this. The idea is that two sons will grow up and they'll share the farm that the dad runs. And they'll split it between them, and one will look after one bit, the other look after the other bit. But the younger son says, Dad, I want it now. He gets his money, and he runs away. His money doesn't last long. He wastes it, that's why. And he hits rock bottom. Do you know what that means? Things can't get any worse. And in the story that Jesus tells, he realizes, do you know what? If I go back, I'll ask my dad to take me back as a slave. So that's what he does. He goes back to his dad, and he starts to tell his dad, Dad, I'm sorry. Will you take me back? I'll be your servant. And the story is brilliant, because the dad doesn't let the son finish. The dad runs to the son, embraces him, kisses him, covers his dirty clothes, cleans him, gives him new clothes to wear, sandals on his feet, a ring on his hand to say, you're my son, and I'm going to have a big party to prove it. And he does. And Onesimus, going back to Philemon, is a little bit like that, isn't it? He's going back, having been received by God already, to be received by a brother in Jesus. And so the story of Onesimus is a bit like the story of everybody who's become a Christian. We make a mess, one way or the other. Some of us actually try and run away from God. But God welcomes us back with all the mess that we've made. And he forgives us. You can't buy that. And you won't get it anywhere else. Only God through Jesus. So we're going to do the memory verse one more time, and then we're going to look at just very briefly a few things from the book of Philemon, okay? You ready? 1, 2. God was not counting people's sins against them, but in Christ was reconciling the world to himself. Philemon learned that, Onesimus learned that, and Paul helped him to see that. This is what Paul, he refers to Onesimus as his child. No, he wasn't his dad, okay? But what he's saying is, Onesimus, the useless servant, became my child while I was in prison. I became his father in the faith. I led him to Jesus. And so in that way, we've got a connection. And I'm sending him back to you with my own heart. He's going to miss him. Paul's going to miss Onesimus when he goes back to finding out, I love him and I'm going to miss him. And this is just a reminder of what he said to Philemon. He's no longer a slave to you. He's more than a slave. He's a beloved brother. I love him. God loves him. You should love him too. Okay? That's the story. But it's a story of two letters. Sometimes this happens. On Christmas, you get cards through the post. Is that right? You get cards from different, maybe family members or friends. And so when the cards arrive in our house, it says, to the Harding family. Okay? Everybody in the family. That's the idea. Or Mr. and Mrs. Harding and family. That happens sometimes. Okay? So Christmas cards are to everybody. Paul wrote two letters. One was like a Christmas card. He wrote a Christmas card to everybody in the church. Okay? There's Christmas cards and then there's birthday cards. Birthday cards don't come with to the Harding family, do they? They come with a name on it, to the person's name. If it's my birthday, it's to Stuart Harding or Mr. S. Harding. And inside the card, it's to me. It's not to my wife on my birthday or my children. It's to me. And so Paul writes two cards. You might say a Christmas card to everybody in the church in Colossae. That's where they lived. And he writes one letter to Philemon and his family. And the letter we've been thinking about today is like the birthday card version. Just to you, you need to know this. This man comes back to you as your brother. Now then, we don't know what happens next. We don't know what Philemon does to Onesimus. We never hear the end of the story. But about 50 years after the New Testament is finished, a church leader writes to a church in a different part of the world, and he mentions a man called Onesimus as a church leader. And it could well be, 50 years on, it could well be that this young slave who ran away and was brought back grew up in Philemon's house as a brother and became a church leader in the years to come. It's a lovely picture of the reconciliation that God has secured. You might be thinking, you've blown it. You've made a mess. The gospel of Jesus Christ means that he, Jesus, is greater than the mess you could ever make. You believe that? Onesimus had to believe that. Paul had to believe that. He was a mess maker too. The gospel of Jesus Christ is bigger than the mess you will ever make. And the relationship you get with God as a result is bigger than any running away you could ever do. And that's what Onesimus learned in the story.